You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 8. Being the turn of the year and trying to take advantage of that particular mood and movement, and looking at the information that should be given our Lord, like in John chapter 13 through 17, he's about to depart, and those wonderful statements given in those chapters are very preparatory for all that lies ahead. And they're wonderful. Back before him, way back before our Lord said that. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses has finished his 40 years in the wilderness, and God gives him an assignment to sum it all up. They've been listening, he's been writing, they've been going through the experiences, and now he's going to put all of that together in Deuteronomy 1 through 34. And he does that. And so as they're sitting there listening, Moses unfolds each piece of it. So now, as we're looking, and then they're going to go forward. Ready or not, they're going to go forward. And history moves on, the clock and the calendar don't stop for anybody. And there we are going down the corridor of time. There they were. And they were going to have to go, ready or not, into the land of Canaan. And thus we have Deuteronomy preparing for such an event. So now, as we share together, and the movement, God, what were you looking for? Well, I had humanity was to have a wonderful relationship to me, people were, but because of sin and unbelief, they rejected me. I raised up an Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Israel to be a people, a nation, to be a testimony to all the nations of the world of what I'm after. And Israel was to have a unique and personal relationship to God. Now, in the process, that relationship was a heart relationship. A person, the heart, the center, the whole person. We say a person, his heart. That means every part of him. His whole deeper, innermost being. His heart. Now, having said that, he wanted this heart relationship. And in the process, the people had not be inclined to have a heart relationship, and we shared that last time together. They were given the opportunity to have it. They chose not to. Therefore, in the process, God required, and as we shared, God required, they're going to move forward, ready or not, and hold your finger here just for a moment, and go back, simply for the sake of note, Deuteronomy chapter 5, reminding you directly, so there's no even question. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And picking up, please, in verse 20. Remember, God had given the Ten Commandments. He had spoke to the people directly. All 2 million plus people heard. There was no question. God spoke. And they didn't want to hear lest they die. They didn't want to hear from God again. And thus, what was the problem? God, what he was saying? No, they had no heart to receive his person or his words. So verse chapter 5, verse 29, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments, always reason that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But that was not the case. They didn't have a heart. They had everything there, but they didn't have their heart with it. They were heartless, as it were. So now, over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Remember, God is going to go. There's always a remnant. As a nation, they have no heart. Moses, Caleb, Joshua, there are those people that are believers. But the nation itself has left them out of the picture, and they, as a nation, is unbelieving. And the remnant is believing, though. Deuteronomy chapter 8, remember God, as we shared, God is going to go and test them to help them understand their problem. And chapter 8, verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, God, here we have spent 40 years in the wilderness of Sinai, peninsula, to humble and to prove thee, to put you to the test, verse 2. What was the purpose of the test? To know what was in thine heart. They needed to know the heart. God knows the heart, knew the heart. They didn't know the heart. They assumed a whole lot that was not true. Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And therefore, as he did that, God kept, well, read verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So we've got to go by God's word and God's person. They weren't doing that. They had no heart. So now, chapter 8, verse 14. Then thine heart, remember they're going to have, we shared it last time, that God is very, very generous. And he multiplies. Everything he does is lots. Lots of snowflakes, lots of sand, lots of everything God does. Wow. Now, and when he does that, our problem, as in any period of history with any people, you get to be complacent and assume everything is something is just normal when it isn't. And you assume you just always have lots. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness. Verse 15. Verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness. Verse 17, thou say in thine heart, my power and might of my hand hath got me this wealth. All that I have and all that I am and all that I do is because of who I am. That is not correct, but that's what they assumed everything. They claimed it. That's what Lucifer, son of the morning, did, the devil. He claimed all the wonderful things that God had done with him and to him as his own. And he sinned and fell. So what are they doing in their pride? They're going and claiming it. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 18. And thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. What am I going to remember? For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God enabled you for that. God enabled and God made the provision. God gave you the ability to do it, to have it. Wow. So now, and the trouble is to forget God. Now, in the process, back over if you would, to chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. So they have no heart that they should have. Pride. Pride promotes self and keeps the heart attitude in a negative way. So now, here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and Deuteronomy introduces the second section in Deuteronomy chapters 12 through 26. And it is the rehearsal of all the principles, all the principal laws. You're going to rehearse them for the people that you've given, Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I'm going to rehearse all those laws for you, and I'm going to do it in free reproduction. That means I'm going to round things off what I want to. Instead of saying 430, I'm going to say 400. I'm going to round it off. Who's doing that? God. God said, here's all the details I've given you. Now I'm going to say the same thing, but I'm going to round everything off. So don't say I made a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. I'm rounding it off. And I have a right to, since I said it in the first place. And I want you to understand, it isn't 30 years using that. 30 years is the issue. 400 years is the issue. We round things off, don't we? We say it's almost 1,000. We round everything off, we do. That's how we use things, usually. Now, having said that, Deuteronomy chapter 11, and going, if I can, to verse 26. Verse 26 now is going to introduce the section. And as you read it, what is the introduction? Verse 26, chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. In other words, to put something or someone else in place of God, idolatry. Verse 29. And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land which thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. And, in other words, I want you to understand what Moses leading him. I want you to understand you have a choice now. You're either going to go forward with blessing or cursing. There's no in-between, none at all. And I want you to know, in order for you to get this very clear, as we'll see in a minute, verse 30, are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the campaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moab? In other words, you're going to go in, Morah, you're going to go in and take the land, and you're going to have all of that, but you're going to be up there in the middle of Palestine, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, and you're going to go and do something wonderful up there. I want it very clear of what everything is about. Verse 32, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Now, chapter 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. I want you to go in now and do all of these things, and you're going to exercise all of this truth in a most wonderful way. And, verse 4, ye shall not do so like the people do that are there. You aren't going to practice their ways or their how they do things. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. No idolatry. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation you shall seek, with it, and thither shall thou come. In other words, you're going to go, I'm going to pick Jerusalem, and everything is going to go along. Now, sliding over, 12, 13, 14, and over, if you would, in chapter 26. And all of them are going to be listed, all of those wonderful principles, principal laws. Now, chapter 26. Remember, they're crossing over, and Moses is laying it on the line with them, just like our Lord did in John chapter 13 through 17. Chapter 26 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. It shall be, when thou art come into the land, unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesses it, and dwellest therein. In other words, you're going to possess and dwell in the land. You're going to do so. And God, you're going to do something wonderful there. Yes, I am. I am going to do wonderful there. I'm going to bring you in. I brought you out of Egypt. I'm going to bring you in. Now, that's a wonderful outlook, a very hopeful future. Verse 16. This day, 26:16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments, which thou shalt therefore keep and do them. And how are you going to do them? With all thine heart and with all thy soul. You're going to do them. And thou hast vouched the Lord. The word vouch means to say, to promise. Thou hast promised, I use it that way, thou hast avouched the promise of the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice and hear him. Verse 18, and the Lord hath avouched, promised thee, this day to be his peculiar, special, prized people, as he hath promised thee that thou shouldst keep all his commandments. Now, a wonderful relationship. You honor me, said God, and I'll honor you. Verse 19, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise, in name, in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord, thy God, as he has spoken. To be a wonderful, wonderful people. Prized, special, privileged, hang on to that. In order to bless all the nations, God, you're going to take this nation, Israel, to bless all of the nations of the world. That's your plan. That's correct. And to be that nation, to be that vehicle, that vessel, to do that, wow. Hang on to that. Wow. That's something. Now, chapter 27. In chapter 27, remember now, our Lord is going to go, he's going to add, and in chapter 27 through 30, you have the discourse. What are you going to say now? Chapters 27 through 30. I'm going to tell you, all of the laws need to be enforced. So I want to tell you the rules and regulations and the problem if you don't obey them. Blessing or cursing? Hang on to that. Now, chapter 27, we shared a little bit last time. Remember, they're going to take these rocks, great stones, verse 2, and they're going to cover them with plaster. And they're going to put them on Mount they're going to put them in the middle of the valley. And six of the tribes, as you know, verse 11, and Moses charged the people the same day, saying, thou shalt stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. And when you are come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And then on the other side of Mount Ebal, you're going to, those six tribes are going to do on the blessing side. And then, verse 13, these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And so now, here they are, and the Levites are going to be in the middle, and they're going to say the sentence, the statement, the paragraph, and then when they lead the blessing, and then all the people on Mount Gerizim, just think of thousands of people up there, and thousands over on this side, and when they speak, it would echo in up and down the land. How could you miss it? So the Levites would read, and then they'd all say, the six tribes would say the blessing. The Levites would read again, and the six tribes on the other side at Mount Ebal will give the cursing. So that, boy, everyone is saying it loud and clear. Everything. Now hang on. And remember now, in the process of this all, that God is going to go, and as he does it, they're going to read the curses, the dooms. The Hebrews would tell you, they'd use the word when they speak of this. Doom, D-O-O-M, curses. It's bad news, dooms. We're doomed. If we don't get blessed, we're doomed. Cursed. Now, so therefore, the curses will take place. And you remember, I'll just read a couple of them to see it. Verse 15. And remember, for every curse, there is a as a blessing, just the opposite. The blessing isn't listed. The curse is listed. Chapter 27, verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Now, don't have any idolatry in hidden public. Don't do it. Verse 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. The commandment, fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor my word, honor my commandments. And they all said, Amen. And you go through the list. And then you come to read verse 25 in order to get to 26. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he, verse 26, that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. So be it. Now, when you come to verse 26, God said, you don't pick and choose out of my word what you want to believe. You don't do that. Well, I like this part of the law for our religious thing, but not that part. Don't do that. You either do all or none. There's no middle ground. No middle ground. You can't do, remember the airplane going over the mountain? And airplanes do go over mountains and over oceans. An airplane going over the mountain, and the airplane is down at think of Mount Everest, almost 30,000 feet and whatever. And here we are going, and the airplane goes, and in the middle of the mountain, it crashes, and boy, if we'd just been higher, all right, let's go up to 5 feet down on the mountain. 5 feet, just enough to hit it. Now, would you tell me the difference between getting crashing at the middle of the mountain or crashing at the top of the mountain? The effect is what? It's the same. If we say we sin in one point, we sin in all of them. There's no way out. No ways, God said. There's no way. Either all the way or no way. That doesn't seem fair. Oh, hold it. Maybe it does. Maybe it is. And it is. Now, so here's all that. Now, chapter 28, that's the curses. Remember, the blessings aren't listed. The blessings are just the opposite of what the curse is for the Jews. And thus, if I can, chapter 28, you're going to have another listing. Now, having said the cursing and the blessing, having said them, now, and verse 26, chapter 27, if you don't keep all the law. Now, God, what else are you going to say? I'm going to say, God always is trying to strengthen and encourage the heart about having and practicing a heart-to-heart relationship with God. Chapter 28, and it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. I'm going to set you on high. All the nations. What a privilege. All of them. I want you to honor me, and I will honor you. Thus, now. So now, God, having said that, here's the cursing and the blessing. Now, God, what are you going to do to stimulate our head and heart? Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, God, we don't want to be cursed, doomed, and we want to be blessed. Okay, you want to be blessed. Now, I want you to know something about the blessings. Now, you gave the blessings the opposite of the cursing. I'm going to give you some new blessings. I'm going to tell you how it works when you trust me. Here I am, say, boy, you're exacting, Lord. Cursing, blessing, nothing in the middle. Boy, there's no giving. There's no, no, there isn't. God. Always right. Always right. Never wrong. Always fair. Always reasonable. Wow. Now, so God, what did you do? These blessings, verse 2, shall come on thee, shall lay hold of you, to take seeds. They're going to cause, the blessings are going to be caused to hunt you down. Think of a lion hunting a deer. And you have the word. All these things are going to overtake you. If you want me, you're going to have to run away from my blessing. And my blessing is faster than you can run. How's that? I want you to, you can't get away. If you want me, you cannot escape my blessings. Now watch. Now listen to them. You know them. I'll just give you a couple of them. Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Now blessed. You're going to be blessed. You're going to have spiritual prosperity, the wonderful God, well, God's wonderful grace and mercy in your life. Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, thy flocks and thy sheep. God, I'm going to bless the whole thing. Uh-huh. I'm going to bless, verse 5, blessed shall thou be thy basket be and thy store. In other words, you're going to have a basket full on the table and a whole storehouse. I'm going to bless everything. I'm going to bless everything you do. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. Wherever you go, however you do it, I'll bless you. No, that's what I did in the wilderness, but you didn't pay attention. I had you go around and around and around. And I shepherded you. I fed you with manna, cloud by day, fire by night, heat, cold. I covered every base. You never had to worry about your clothes. Always the shoes never wore out. The foot never got sick. The body never got sick. I mean, I have to tell you, for 40 years, you've been blessed. And it didn't do any good. You murmured and mumbled in the whole trip, and you never gave me your heart. So now, God, here you are. But if we had obeyed the cursings and the blessings. No, God said, get past that to what? If you look to me and do right, I'm going to do wonderful, wonderful things for you. I'll bless, verse 6, I'll bless your going out. I'll bless when you're coming in. Hold your finger here and go over with me, please. To Psalm, I think, 121. Psalm 121. You know, it's called the Traveler's Psalm. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He keepeth thee, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. So, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Moving quickly over to verse 8. I'll read verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall keep, take care of you. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even evermore, even forevermore. God, back over to chapter 28 and verse 6, you said you would bless their going in and you would bless their coming out. That's correct. That's correct. I'm going to honor my word. You honor my word and I will honor you. And God, no matter what we go, you're going to bless us. That's correct. I'm going to be an ever-present help to you if you're going to do that. Now, all we had to do was honor you. We didn't have to try to understand cursing and blessing. No, we just had to understand to love you with all our heart. It got simple. Think of the Ten Commandments. God sums them up for us, doesn't he? Here's the Ten Commandments. And remember Matthew 22, 23, etc. Here's the first part, verse 4. And God says, I'm going to sum them up for you in two sentences. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. That's 4. Now I'm going to the second part. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You got it. You mean the big Ten Commandments? Shrunk down. Love me, and you'll be able to love your neighbor. You can't do it without it. You don't have it in you. It isn't part of your makeup. You don't have that much. You can't even conjure up that love. You have to be loved, remember, in order to love. So now God, and chapter 28, remember, goes to the curses. Chapter 28 and verse 15, you go from blessing to curse. But it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if you don't want to, you don't have to, it's your choice, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And boy, it's not going to come out good. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. If you don't get saved, you're going to be unsaved. That's all. Chapter 28 gives one long list of curses. And I want you to slide your go all the way over to verse 64. All of those curses. Wow. All of those. So now, verse 64, if I can. And the Lord shall scatter thee among the people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. Remember the Assyrian, Babylonian, and the Roman in 70 A.D. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations thou shalt find no ease. Remember Deuteronomy 4 said they were to be a testimony to nations. But Israel, if there's a positive, but Israel in your unbelief, your testimony will be to the world negatively. And the world is going to take note about you. They're never going to stop thinking about Israel. When it's on target, they're blessed. When it isn't, they're cursed. But I want you to know, you'll always have Israel, no matter what part of history you live in, as it were. You're going to know about Israel. Israel is the key. When you have peace in Jerusalem, you'll have peace in the world. Now, if you would, over in chapter 28, going to verse 65. Among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall thy sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, failing eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang, verse 66, in doubt before thee, and fear by day, fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of life. So here you are, you're going to be what? You could have hope and encouragement, but if you don't, there's a warning that you are responsible. And remember now, if you know, the horrors of Jewish history. Of all the nations of the world, no nation has had a more horrible time than Israel. No nation. Wow. Mistreated by all. And let me keep reading. And in the process, remember, the judgments, the exile, they have a trembling heart, a failing eyes, a hurting soul. And the climax is, what are you going to have? The climax, sliding, if I may, in verse 67. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening, and at evening, at night, you shall say, would God it were morning. There's no good time of day. You're never there. For the fear of thine heart, H-E-A-R-T, wherewith thou shalt fear, for thy sight, for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way thereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. You're going to sell yourself back to bondage, Egypt, and no one wants you. No one wants a Jew. No one wants you. Wow. That's your history. Cursed. And here they are. Israel's in a very tough place today, and God has to help them. There's no question about it. Now, in the light of all of that, chapter 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So here's Mount Sinai, and now God has added all of this to that. So you got all of this in front. And what are you going to do with it? And you know, if I can, a picking up, and the Lord shall separate. Well, let me pick up. I'll try to save time. Over, if you would. Verse 24. Even all nations shall say, when God is going to bless them, but when they don't, they're going to be cursed. And there's no heart. There's no heart. I'm going to go back there to pick that up. I don't want to go that fast. Verse 2, 29:2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, unto all his servants and unto all his land. The great temptations, testing, trials, plagues, which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet you saw and experienced all of them, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. I have led you 40 years, verse 5, in the wilderness. Your clothes were not waxen old upon you. Thy shoe was not waxen old upon thy foot. 40 years. You have not eaten bread. You have not eaten bread, neither drunk wine or strong drink. That you may know that I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. And when you did all of this, you had all of this, but no heart. No, remember Deuteronomy 5:29. You have no heart. I did everything. And you got no heart. I did it. And when you come to verse 9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. And if you do that, your little ones are going to be blessed, etc. And in the process, verse 10, you shall stand all this day, and you shall stand this day, all of you, 29:10, before the Lord your God. Your captains, your tribes, your leaders, your officers, and all your men of Israel, your little ones and your wives and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of the wood to the drawer of the water, to the people that cut trees and draw water, that thou shouldst enter into covenant with the Lord thy God and into his oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee today, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God, as he said unto thee, and he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day, all the people that were born before the Lord in the wilderness, before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us at this day. In other words, everyone that's to come and everyone that is, I made a covenant, a wonderful, wonderful covenant, a wonderful, wonderful plan that I'm going to do it. And when you come over to chapter 30, and you come, and remember now, And it shall come to pass, when all these things that come upon thee, the blessing, I'm going back to verse 27, so you make the connection, 29:27. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. Now slide down to chapter 30, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things that come upon thee, the blessings and the curse which I have set before thee, thou shalt call them to mind among all nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Now, when you're out there, are you considering the wonderful words of Moses? All over the world, Jewish people, etc. Blessed. All they got to do, 1 Kings chapter 8, turn to God. Turn to God. But they don't. They don't do it. Don't do it. Verse 2, thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God. 30, verse 2. Thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. I want you to do that. And verse 5, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart. How am I going to ever do it, God? Well, God said, I'm going to do it. You look to me with all your heart, and you'll find the wonderful mercy and grace and forgiveness that only I can provide. The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. For what purpose? To love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with thy soul, that thou mayest live. And verse 7, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute. In other words, I'm going to turn it all around. All I got to do, you understand, 11:26, you got to make a choice. This blessing and cursing. And I've been trying to help you, Moses being the writer, being the penman, I'm going to have you go, and you need to make a choice. And thus in the process, I want you to know I've given you my word. I've given you my word. Hang on, we'll pick it up. If I can. Over quickly. You have to be very quick. Verse 14. But the word is very nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. For what reason? That thou mayest do it. Remember Deuteronomy 6? You're going to put the word in your forehead, the word in your hands, the word in your doorpost of your house. Everywhere in your house is the word of God. So you understand God's word. And I had you stand at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. How could you miss my word? You heard the whole thing at that point. Blessing and cursing. Wow. I did it all. Now don't say the word isn't near you. I told you to put it in your heart, in your mouth, write it on the table, read it everywhere you go, with your children, etc. Now you have my word. So don't say I didn't give you my word. You know it. Now, thus, verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. I have put them both there. And remember now, I don't want to go that quick, but verse 13, well, I got to go back. I just want you to see what God said in the light of that. Verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not, N-O-T, hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou should say, who will go up for us to heaven? Do we have to go to heaven to get this? Nope. And bring it down, that we may hear it and do it? Nope. Neither is it beyond the sea, somewhere over there in some country, some island, some place. If we could just get there by ship or something, we could find your word. No, that is not true. Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? God said, no, it's right on top of you, right in the middle of you. And therefore, verse 15, See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. And in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, love thy Lord, God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment. Why? That thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land, whether thou goest to possess it. You can't get away from the blessing. But, verse 17, if thine heart turn away, so that thou wouldst not hear, thou shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record, bear record, everyone, all of creation, bear witness this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now I want you to know, I tell you what to do. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I'm going to tell you, there's arsenic, poison, the world's got it, all kinds of stuff, attract to keep us busy and caught up in things. And then there's what God has. And God said, I want you to go, as it were, I only have one glass. Choose. Don't go out here, choose. Choose life now. And when you do that, verse 20, that thou may, why am I going to choose life? I don't want to choose death. I don't want to choose cursing. Now, do you know, you remember I told you years ago, the fellow at Ocean Spray, Cranberry Sauce, who I used to know, the owner, creator of it, years ago, I have lunch with him, saw all that stuff. And in the process, he had a little card. Remember, I still have it, I think, somewhere. A little card, I told you these things. And in the process, on the one side of the card, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And sign it. But then, if you don't want to sign it, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, turn the card over. I refuse the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I refuse him. Sign it. Sign it. He never had anyone sign it. Anyone sign it. Sign it. Sign it. Choose. Choose. There's no middle ground. You cannot serve how many masters? You cannot do it. You will love one and hate the other. You can't do two. The Lord Jesus said, I'd rather have you hot or what? Cold. There is no neutral. There is no middle. There is no hidden, so what, I'll do whatever. You can't do that. It doesn't exist. You're either saved or lost. Period. And you can do whatever you want and try to make believe there's a gray area that somehow it doesn't. But it isn't there, dear friend. It isn't there. It isn't to be found. No. No, no, not at all. Now, in closing, will you go over with me, please? Over to Ephesians. People want middle ground. There isn't any middle ground. Why couldn't we have a middle ground in doctrine? A middle ground in truth? You can't. But we do. We do. That's what we're going to do. And you got nothing. You got nothing. Wow. So now in Ephesians, if I can, keeping in mind, God, what do I know? Well, God, what did you do for Israel? You chose Israel. Did God choose Israel? Yes, he did. God, you chose Israel, and Israel was then to choose you. Choose you. And they were to choose you. And a Gentile, back then, could have chosen Israel, couldn't they? And been part of the nation of Israel. A Gentile could have chosen Israel, but they didn't. Now God, and Israel is prized. Is any other nation? Never. There is no other nation going to be the nation in the millennial reign of Christ. So Israel, what a future! What a future! Wow. Now, but God, they're chosen. And you know, as I said in the beginning, I think I did, it's a wonderful thing to be chosen, isn't it? To be selected. Here's a million people, and God selects you for such a high place. Wouldn't that be something? Wow. And all of us sit there, no, He's going to select me. Huh. Now, God, what have you done? God said, I have chosen my Son, my beloved Son, to pay the price for the sin of the world. I have chosen my Son. He's my choice. I offer you the privilege and the right to choose Him instead of yourself. Would you choose Him as your Savior? You see, He's chosen. And you, in Christ, are given the privilege of the highest, most wonderful purpose to belong to God as a prized, precious, peculiar people, the church. Wow. I choose. God said, I chose my Son. And if I find you in my Son, which I did when I died on the cross, I died on the cross. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When I died on the cross, I died for who? I died for you and everyone else. I died for them. I chose you in Him. Now, will you choose Him to find yourself? I suggest to you, choose life and blessing and not death and cursing. You have one choice. If you don't make that choice, you're a loser. And it doesn't make any difference on anywhere in all of forever what you do. You can play with your mind, or play religious games, do whatever you want. Moses, what did you tell Israel? The one thing they needed to know. There's no sense in going forward into the next stage of the year, the century, the time, the calendar. You want to go forward. Having a personal, saving, satisfying relationship to God. So that you're going forward with the God, the timeless God, who gives you a timeless relationship called eternal life to go forward. And all you have to do is make a choice. Israel, you need to make a choice. Do you know why? That's why we mentioned it. God, what have you done? That's why it's Psalm. You want peace in the world. It isn't going to come from any of us. It's going to come when Israel has peace with God. Israel. You want peace? They have to have it, so we get it. Israel, I'm waiting for you, not me, because I already have it. You have it if you're saved. Already chosen. Don't deserve a drop of it. Aren't you? Already chosen. Oh. And I don't have peace. I don't need peace like that. But the world does. And the world needs to believe. Israel needs to believe. And therefore, God, you said, there's only two choices. Not anymore. No more. You're either a friend, you're either my friend, James 4, or my what? Enemy. You're one or the other. How about a middle? There isn't any. Isn't any? Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and mercy, and God help us. We try to exhort and encourage and do anything, our God, to get us to think and rethink and unthink and learn and unlearn and relearn. God, to do whatever. God, deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth, our jobs, our families, our marriage, children. God, we got all kinds of things. But God, we need the blessing that comes that can only come from you, so that whether we go in or out, we're blessed. Because we are chosen in your Son, thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. I want to sing a stanza, if I can, if we can. 562. 562. First and last.